Hello, I'm Mike Salem. My dad, Pastor Salem, loved to spread the good news of Jesus to provide hope and encouragement to people all over the world through his biblical teachings and sermons. You will experience that truth from God's Word in today's message. Now let's join Pastor Salem.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And do we ever have a wonderful sermon today? We're going to preach about the greatest verse in the Bible. And you know what it is, and I know what it is, John 3:16, and it never grows old. It's a beautiful, beautiful verse. And so that's what we're going to preach about. And then, but first we're going to read some of the letters we get. And I want to thank you for all of the letters that we receive. And it helps us to know what to preach about, maybe, and what you're thinking, and then to pray for you. And I got a whole lot of birthday cards. I never got so many in my life. I just want to thank all of you that wrote a letter, wrote a note, sent a card, said a prayer, whatever it is. Thank you, and God bless you, and I'll thank you personally when we get to heaven. Well, let's look at some of our letters. The first one comes from a man in prison, and this is in Buffalo, New York. He writes, "Fortunately, I have been given a large study Bible, and I'm reading it daily. Thank God I saw your program on TV, and of course, moved by the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm humbly requesting your prayers. Please send any Christian literature that you have prayed over, wherefore I can read and reread it. Thanking you in advance for your prayers and whatever else the Holy Spirit permits in our Lord and Savior's name. Sincerely and prayerfully yours. And P.S., absolutely astonishingly and extraordinary work of God. Thank you. Amen." And so we sent literature to this dear brother, and he's unable to send money. And when we have somebody wants something, wants CDs or DVDs, we send them out on a free will offering basis. But if you don't have any money, we send it anyway, and then somebody else helps us. So we're glad that's part of our ministry. And here's from a lady that called in, and one of our ladies in the office typed it out. And she says, "A mother called our office this week with a wonderful praise report. Her son is in prison, and she's been sending the new song newsletter to him. She was thrilled when he called to tell her he accepted the Lord Jesus as his Savior. She is grateful for the role the new song played in her son's salvation, and joyfully said, 'This is the best Mother's Day gift I ever received. Thank you, Pastor Salem, and the Christian Worship Hour.'" And when she talks about the new song, it's a little publication that we put out every month, free and postpaid. And it's a little Bible study is what it is. And a lot of people use it for Sunday school lessons and such as that. And then we have excerpts from a lot of the letters that we get. And we have the sermon topics and this and the scriptures that go with it. So it's a wonderful little paper, and I'm going to give you the address in just a minute. I'm going to read one more letter, and that's from Ada from La Crosse, Wisconsin. "I'm already born again, but I fell away. I teared up when you started talking about the story of the prodigal son. God is so good. I know his will be done in my life. That really touched my soul. Praise God and thank you. If you may, please pray for God's will to be done in my life as I'm facing prison. Thank you so much, and God bless you, your sister in Christ." And the beautiful thing about this is that you can always come back to Jesus. If you've drifted away, you can always come back. And so we write them. I'm going to just sneak in one more letter. Here's Ada, Minnesota. I just want you to hear this. It says, "I ask God to come into my life. I am now on the right road with God. Now truly believe in God. I love God with my heart. Can you send me more information on how to start studying the Bible, how to pray to God?" And that's exactly what we did. And I want to tell you, all of you that give and all of you that pray, you had a part in bringing this person to the Lord. And then this other lady that drifted away, bringing her back. And if you'd like to get some of our literature, if you'd like to help us or get us the new song, you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is easy to remember. It's 2002, and we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. and we'd be happy to write to you. Just write and let us know, and then, of course, help us in the work. But let's look at our message for today, and that's the greatest verse in all the Bible. I don't know how many times I preached about this verse, and it never grows old, and there's always just like a deep well. You're always bringing up new thoughts and new feelings. And as time goes by, it has new light to shine on some particular problem. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so this is that John 3:16. Martin Luther called this verse the miniature gospel. And he called the miniature gospel because there is a sense in which the whole story of the Bible is told out in it. If anyone knows a verse of scripture, it's John 3:16. So let's look at that wonderful verse. It starts out with the greatest lover, and that's God. God opens the assumption that we know him, that there is a God. There's a tiny few people that say they don't believe in God, called atheists, but God talks about them and he says they're fools. If they can't see the hand of God in nature and all that's happening, they're very, very foolish people. The psalmist cries out and he says, the heavens declare the glory of God. Just look at the glory of creation if you wonder if there's a God. Or if you have a pocket watch or a wrist watch, you just take a look at that and you know somebody has to make it. There has to be a watchmaker. And if there's a creation and if there's DNA and if there's a heart and if there's life and if there's breath, somebody had to give it to you and make it. And that's God. Of course, we believe in God. There's a great definite where God is telling us then, this wonderful God, he's saying that God so loved the world. And so this God is the greatest lover. He is the greatest lover in and of himself because God is love. He even loves his enemies. We're told in Romans 5, verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, even much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. He loved us in our sins when we're enemies and rebels. My, what a wonderful God. He's the greatest lover, God. And he makes it to the greatest degree. He's so loved. God loves us with a divine love. We are human beings. We have a finite love. God is a divine, and he is an infinite love. And there isn't any way to measure that wonderful love of God. And so we come to Jesus in our sin, and he saves us by his grace. And it isn't anything we do. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, according to his mercy, so we just come to him as we are, as beggars, in our filth and in our sin and in our wickedness and our waywardness, and we just come to him, we call on his name. And then after God saves us, then we do our good works. We try to keep his commandments and obey all of his things and all matters because we love God. And I might add, we may never understand fully the love of God. It's beyond, how can you measure the love of God? It is impossible. And I was reading about Vasco Balboa and how that he made a long journey and finally came to the top of a mountain. And from that mountain, he could see that great big blue Pacific Ocean. And it is said from that mountaintop, he gazed at it for a few moments upon that great body of water, that beautiful ocean, and then he fell to his knees and he thanked God for letting him have such a wonderful discovery. And that's what John did in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. He said, behold, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. This wonderful God has given us this wonderful love. John says, behold, he's saying, I can't express it. I can't comprehend it. It's above me. He says, it's beyond me. I'm left speechless. I can't put it into words. Behold what love he's bestowed upon us. And so when we face the Lord Jesus and see his great love for us, we are speechless and we can only say, thank you, dear Jesus. You, God, you loved us so much you gave your only begotten Son. And dear Jesus, you loved us so much you came and died for us on the cross. Nobody else would die for us on the cross. And here you are, the Son of God without sin. and you come and take all of our sin and pay for it on the cross. Behold, behold the love of God. And then it's the greatest company, the world. And what do we mean? He loves the whole world. Now, what do we mean by world? Now, the Greek word is cosmos, and it can be used three different ways, standing for the world. It can be the material world, or it can be the world people, or it can be the world system, our culture. In this passage, we're talking about the people of the world. And so that's illustrated when John said in John 1, verse 10, the world was made by him, Jesus, and the world knew him not. And so that means the material world was made by him, but the people of the world rejected him. That's exactly what he says. So God loves the people of the world. He hates our sin, but he loves us. And that wonderful, wonderful love of God is shown in the grace of God. And I don't care what your sins might be. We have people write in, they say, oh, I think I committed the unpardonable sin, and I don't know if God will even save me. I've been so wicked, and I sinned against light. I'm going to tell you there's nobody beyond the love of God. I don't care. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. And where grace of sin abounded, grace did much more abound. God's love will cover you and blood will cover your sins. There was a man named John Newton, and he could really attest to the love of God. When he was 11 years old, John Newton joined went to sea on his father's ship. And he became a live a life of terrible rebellion and debauchery. And then he finally went to work and on the islands in the mainland of West African coast, collecting men and women to sell them as slaves. That was his business, rounding them up to sell them as slaves. And Newton then finally became the captain of his own slave ship. And how can you tell the horrors of capturing and transporting and selling slaves to the plantations in the West Indies and America? But John Newton found the grace of God, and he came to Jesus Christ, and he was cleansed of his sins. And though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, going to be like wool. And John Newton was cleansed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And you know what he did? He went to school and studied a minute for the ministry, and he began preaching the wonderful grace and mercy of God. And he preached until he died at the age of 82. His eyesight was failing. His health was failing. His memory was fading. But he declared when somebody suggested that he might retire, John Newton said, what? Shall an old Africa blasphemer stop while he can still speak? Of course not. Didn't consider it. And again, shortly before he died, he cried out in a sermon as he was preaching, my memory is nearly gone, but I remember two things, that I am a great sinner and that Christ is a great Savior. Amazing grace, he writes, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was blind, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see the wonderful grace of God. Oh, my goodness. The greatest God in the world, and he died for the world. And then it is the greatest act that he gave. True love gives. There are some principles that never waver, never change. And one of those principles is this. You cannot love without giving. Now, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. You can give without loving. You do it when you pay your income tax. You love to pay your income tax, do you? But you give it, don't you? You shell it out. And that's a great principle. But the main principle is you can give without loving, but you can never love without giving. If you love, you're going to give. You can't help but give. You're compelled to give because you love. And that's what God did. He loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son. And that's the greatest act in all of the world. God so loved that he gave. And then the greatest opportunity, whosoever believeth. Sometimes I hear people say, well, I've sinned too much. I know God would never forgive me. And I had one woman tell me one time, if I ever got baptized, she says, the baptismal waters would turn black. She thought maybe baptism took away sin, but baptism doesn't take one single sin away. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that saves us. So we call on the name of the Lord and you can be saved. And so if you can't commit a sin, you can't be forgiven for. Because if there was some unpardonable sin, then God would have to say, whosoever, except those that committed the unpardonable sin. But he never said that. He said, whosoever will may come. And aren't you glad that he didn't put your name in there? Like God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that if Harold Salem believed, he'd have everlasting life. And I'd say, oh boy, my name is in there. Oh boy, isn't that great? Hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I'd be so happy until I got to thinking. I wonder if all over all these years, if there hasn't been another Harold Salem. There are a lot of Harolds in the world. There should be more with a nice name like that. But here I am, my name is in there, and I am so good, and my name is Harold Salem, and Salem means peace, and there's a town or a city named Salem in every state of the Union. And remember Melchizedek, when Abraham met Melchizedek, the king of Salem, that was 4,000 years ago. So they had the name Salem 4,000 years ago, and then I get to thinking, now, wait a minute. In 4,000 years, what if there's been another Harold Salem? And I didn't mean me, he meant the other one. And if you think that's a problem, what if your name would be Johnson or Smith? Lord have mercy. Well, so God said, he didn't put my name there. He said, whosoever believeth, whosoever, that's me. That's you. You don't have to worry. Anyone can come. Anyone can believe. But you have to come. And you have to come in this life. You have to come now. Because once you die, there is no redemption. In Hebrews, we're told, Hebrews 9:27, God says, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after death, the judgment. And so if you're born again, if you've accepted Jesus and you die, the love of God goes on forever and ever, never ends in heaven. But if you reject the love of God, if you reject Jesus and you die in your sins, you're going to go into hell. The wrath of God will rest upon you, and God have mercy on your soul. Look at John chapter 3 and verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And that's what you need to do, is just call on the name of the Lord. I'm going to tell a little bit more about that. But he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And then it goes on, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That is hell. John 3, verse 36, look it up. And brother, sister, you're going to be, when you die, you're going to be immediately in heaven, or you're going to be immediately in hell, one of the two. Well, you say, I don't know how do I know where I'm going to go? I'll tell you where you're going to go. You're going to go where you want to go. If you want to go to heaven, you accept Jesus Christ. If you don't want to go to heaven, you reject Jesus Christ. And your wife can't do it. And I always say wife because usually it's the men that hang off. And they said the wife goes to church and then he sits there at home like a bump on a log. Usually it's the men that come last. Most of the time, I've been preaching 72 years. And a big proportion. Women, I don't know, they're more open to the Lord or more sensitive or whatever it is. But the men, they sit and they wait. They're like a bump on a log. And so you're going to decide. Your wife can't decide it for you. I wish I could decide it for you. But there's only one person can tell you whether you'll be in heaven or hell. You have to make that decision. God says, I stand at the door and knock. Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock, the door of your life. If any man opens that door, I will come in. I'll come into his life, and I'll take away his sins, and I'll make him my child. But if you don't open the door and ask him to come in, you're going to meet hell and the devil and his angels and the lake of fire. You say, well, that's not very nice to say. That's the nicest thing I could ever say, because I'm trying to wake you up and get some sense in your head. to come to Jesus and find salvation. It's the most wonderful thing, whosoever. And it's the greatest attraction in Him. Our faith must be placed in Jesus Christ. Don't you plan on good works? Don't you plan on baptism? Don't you plan on circumcision? Don't you plan on 100,000 other things? And you always say, you say, are you going to go to heaven? This is, well, I haven't been so bad. Oh, yeah. If you haven't accepted Jesus, Jesus says in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father. Nobody gets to heaven but by me. The way to God is through a person. I love the church. I spent all of my life in the church practically, preaching in the church. But the church can't save you. The church can just bring you the good news. And the good news is you come to a person, Jesus. And He wants you to come. And He says then in the greatest promise, He says, should not perish. And this wonderful Lord Jesus tells us that when He talks about perish, He means everlasting life in hell. Everlasting torment in hell. In John 5:24, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. That minute you accept him, you have life. But he that rejecteth the Lord, the wrath of God abideth on him. He comes into condemnation. And so it's all your choice. And I know that God is talking to some of you right now. The Holy Spirit is at your heart's door and you're saying, I ought to pray. I ought to ask Jesus into my heart. I shouldn't. And the devil will say, oh, no, put it off. No, he'll never say not to do it. He'll just say, put it off. And you put it off until you die and then you're in hell. You have to have Jesus. And this wonderful Savior tells us if we put our faith in Him, we have everlasting life. That's the greatest certainty. He says that when we put our faith in Him, we will never be lost. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 12, we said, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write unto these that ye may know that ye have eternal life. You can know you have eternal life because this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ tells us, He gives us His word. And you may say, well, I prayed that prayer, but I don't feel anything. You don't have to feel anything. A lady told me the other day, when I accepted Jesus, I felt joy in my heart, flooding my soul. And that's wonderful. When I accepted Jesus, I was 10 years old, didn't feel anything. And you don't have to feel anything. It's a contract. It's an agreement where you say, God says, if you confess your sins to me and ask me into your heart, I'll come in and cleanse you from your sins, and I'll write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you'll be my child forever. That's the contract. And then you say, no, you're not coming into my life. I'm good enough. Well, good for you. You'll spend eternity in hell. But if you say, oh, yes, I want Jesus. I want Him to take away my sins. I'm a terrible old sinner. And I just want Him to come into my life and take away my sin. And then you say, dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sin. You're knocking at my heart's door. I got that feeling. I just got that feeling. There's something saying, He wants me to come to Him, to open the door for Him. And then He'll come into your life and He'll wash away your sins. And you'll be born into the family of God. And you'll be a child of God. And then He'll give you and put your name on the Lamb's Book of Life. And He'll give you joy and peace as you walk along. And I've walked with Jesus 85 years. And I failed Him, but He's never failed me, and He never will. And I'll go to heaven when I die. And you say, well, yeah, you're a preacher. You ought to get to heaven. Preaching doesn't have a thing to do with it. A lot of preachers not going to make it unless they're born again. Just you say, because you put reverend on there doesn't mean a thing. You have to have your heart. And I'm going to get to heaven the same way you're going to get to heaven, through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He says, whosoever will may come. And so we have to come to Jesus. Listen to what Jesus talks about in John 3:17 and 18. He says, God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. So he's come to save the world. And he says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already because he has not believed in the Son of God. Pray that prayer. And then you write to us and we'll send you some literature. Wherever you're, anywhere in the world, we'll send you that literature and it'll get you started in the Christian life. And then you need to help us in this work because we have to pay our way like anybody else. And by the way, we're audited by the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, and they check every penny we get and every penny we spend. And we spend it for what we say we're going to do, preaching the gospel, taking the gospel. And so then you write to us, Christian Worship Hour, and the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. We'll leave it on the screen there for you so you can see it and you write to us. Now I want to pray for the shut-ins. Dear Lord, I pray for those who are shut in today, those who can't get around. And I pray for our brothers and sisters who are suffering for you. Today we're praying for Iraq and all of those who are suffering there, Lord, and many of them have died. We pray that you'll comfort their hearts and give them strength and courage and help them never to turn back but to lean on you. And to those who are sick, and to those who are lonely, and those who are sad, those who have lost loved ones, and young people that don't know which way to turn, oh God, help them to love you and trust you. And help them to write to us, and we'll send them literature, dear God. Thank you. Just tell them write. In Jesus' name, amen. You write to us, Christian Worship Hour. Those of you on shortwave radio, I'm going to give it to you now. Box 2002-2002. Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, or you can get us on ChristianWorshipHour.com. You write to us and we'll answer your letter. And you help us in the work. If you think it's something God wants done, you have to help us do it or we can't do it by ourselves. So God bless you. And I just want to thank you all for opening the door for us. And we're just excited already coming next week and being with you. And you know, God loves you and the Christian Worship Hour loves you. That's why we're doing it. We love your soul and we want to see you in heaven. I want to walk the streets of gold with you. I want to shake your hand and get to see what you look like and see if you're as good looking as I am and probably most of you a lot better. So just take Jesus and rejoice in Jesus. And then one bright sunny day, we'll get to see him face to face and meet everybody. God bless you. May the love of Christ rest upon each one of you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.